Hey, folks.
Hi, listeners.
Listeners, that's what you call them.
I do.
I mean, they're listeners,
sure.
But they're more than just ears.
No, they are people.
Yeah.
With hopes and dreams.
So I go with folks.
That's nice. It's true.
That's good. So speaking of listening, Ray and I, this is going to come as a shock. But we sometimes...
Like that happens.
Yeah, see that
and
text?
Then
and then I would swear.
And say, bleep.
Yeah.
And we'd have to start over.
Start over.
Then re-record some lines.
Yeah, all the time.
So we thought it would be funny or enjoyable to play some of those for you first up front here.
Yes.
where you may hear us drop a few expletives.
So you're going to hear us in this outtake skit that's up front of the episode cursing.
Just prepare.
But if that's offensive, then skip ahead about 15 minutes and you'll start into an episode. We thought we'd put the outtakes up front because we've never done anything like this, put anything like this up before. And we figure most people fall asleep by the end.
So laugh up front.
Yeah. So there's a warning.
Yeah. Enjoy our shenanigans.
Or skip 15 minutes ahead.
How's that?
Well, it might be 16. By the time we said this, added a minute from my original time.
It's true.
You're going to find it. There's an episode down there. Thank you so much, everybody.
Thanks, listeners. Bye. Folks.
Folks. All right, Hoochie Mama again.
Back and back.
Right.
Back.
We are.
Yes.
I enjoy certain aspects of, I blew that up.
All right. You want to try again or is it going to keep going?
Kind of come across these.
Yeah.
On occasion, sometimes, you know, I don't know. What I'm saying.
Is it horrifying or is it short?
Let me find this fucking...
No.
No, it's fucking nothing. Oh, yes. And when the sky falls, we'll catch Skylark. No, fuck you.
You care if I pee? I'm just like, I gotta pee.
Go ahead.
It's a break. I gotta pee.
Right.
I took the liberty to suggest to him that if he did not leave poetry and bone math more, that he was... I'm sorry.
I'm being the straight guy.
I know, you gotta be. I took the liberty to suggest to him that if he did not leave poetry and bone math more than he was doing... I'm trying. Okay, I can do it. I took the liberty to suggest that...
Didn't even get started.
I know it's coming. Anyway, the quotes.
managed to drag up a printing of it that's from 1889.
My.
Yeah. So go Garson.
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. O'Toole. Does he say what the use is?
It. God damn son of a bitch.
There's a pause. You can cut it.
No, it's, I will. There's a good word for it. I don't have it. In that, not family, but in that
genre,
mindset, in that, fuck it. Our leading etymologists
nice.
Like to point to this as the principal. God, dug myself into a hole there.
You know what I mean. You know where we're heading.
So our leading etymologists, a couple of ways to go are to back then. Christ.
I was going to try to think of a way to cut some slack, but it didn't work. And I just there was a little silence, and that was that.
There was an uncomfortable silence.
Yeah, I was trying to... It was like I was thinking, and it didn't work.
No, it happens to me all the time.
Yeah.
But so we're going into
the slack part of our episode.
Okay. Now we're
tried too hard.
Yeah. So that's all I have on slacks.
Let's relax and kick backs with some ads.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Oh, I got it.
Okay.
So if Joseph Hager's ad campaign wasn't the truth, but ours is.
Nice.
Yeah. Nate. Ah, cock.
Oh, it's the lodge, too.
Don't hang up.
Toes. Yawn legs are in twisted hose.
Right, so that little... And he was taken down by his own saliva.
I've had experiences before, like with Turkish coffee as well. Yeah.
You're gonna be okay?
Yeah, I just, you know, I get excited and the spit gets in my throat and I choke on it. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, I mean, I took the liberty to suggest to him that if he did not leave poetry and bone math more than he was doing, we should be deprived.
There, so next time just pick it up from "we should be deprived."
Sorry. "We should be deprived here long of his excellent study. Society." Wow, man, I fucked that all up. Oh, God damn it.
There's varying levels of androgen which radiate through, I don't know how much they radiate, but they're shown through different thicknesses and allotments of facial hair in the mustaches.
In 414.
Wow.
So far back.
Well, do that again.
Which, I don't know what.
I don't know, just so I can, so the people aren't confused that it's not 1814.
It's not 1814. Yeah. It's 414 is whenever Aristophanes references the Chirephon. I guess it's Chirephon.
Don't do them both again. So just do it again, like from the thing. So it was 414 that 414. He first referenced that.
Yeah. Am I supposed to say that?
Yeah. Like Gordon Gano's love. All right.
Yeah.
Well, you know what isn't gone?
Nah.
Boy, people are going to get sick of these
setups. They're definitely going to. It's just cut right to that. Just in the middle of our laughs, cut to that.
I like it. We'll do that.
People are going to get sick of these setups and start laughing, and then cut to that.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, we really got it. His speech was a... His speech was a fine sample, on the whole, of rhetoric. Fuck you. His speech was a fine sample, on the whole, of rhetoric, which he'd learned. Fuck you. I hand wrote this one out. That's what.
Oh, nice.
That is what I'm going with. Nice. That's my story. I'm sticking with.
Got
it.
Got the literal cold shoulder.
Yeah. And what won't give you the cold shoulder are our ads.
No.
It began to mean looking at something askew.
Oh, man, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie to you about
that. No, okay. Oh, man.
I'm trying to be courteous listener that
I
may
know.
Have this condition.
I know.
There's a lot of people with it. Deborah Norville.
Sure.
They're out there.
I don't want to say. I'm not just saying, looking at it askew.
Yeah.
Come on.
No, I know. I was doing so well. I'm saying, I'm just going to read this and I'm going to keep going. I didn't know. Yeah.
I'm not trying to laugh at anybody.
Yeah, you don't know where to draw the line.
No, right.
I mean, if we just went ahead and called ourselves comedians,
then
there's no rules.
No. Photographer.
You sure?
That's what this lady says.
All right, I'm going to say it then. All right, here we go.
Anyway, can you hear?
Lexicographer. And other stuff too. Aldi and Big Science. We'll be right back.
Did you say Aldi?
Did I say Aldi?
Yeah.
Am I not supposed to?
It's Instacart. Instacart?
Oh, snap. I got to say it. Along with Instacart and Big Science. Right? So how about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instant cart and everything. Instacart?
Insta. It's not really instant.
Not at all.
No. Yeah. So, hey.
Hey.
This is a good thing, right? Now, you may have noticed that we don't have an umbrella today.
Mm-hmm.
Did we say that up
we
front?
Did. Yeah.
We did?
We did.
Oh, we did.
Yeah.
Ah, fudge. I thought I was adding value.
No. Well, I mean, yeah.
But taking away value. So, hey, that was pretty nice,
yeah.
Right? You say, what the hell, Jay?
What the hell, Jay?
I'll tell you if I turn my page. When you're riding 16 hours. So.
On the page.
All right. Well, here I am.
Here I go.
That was a gimme.
Like, good Lord. What the crap?
Yeah.
Kind of ways, you know?
Yeah, it's an odd a side way of using it.
Yeah. That's 16, still early, yeah, before 1700s. Then 1748... Lackadaisy appears in, like I said, Tobias Smollett's, that's what I was reading. God damn it. That's the quote. Sorry.
Yeah, I was like, jeez, wow. I'm in a fucking deja vu loop.
No, I went back up to other quotes because I thought I lost where I was.
All Juicy right, Smollett.
So then.
Take on it.
What year is Edward Topsell giving us his take?
Well, he's way back there in Shakespearean era.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Wait, that could be a fucking lie.
wait.
I saw his name during a Shakespeare thing. Edward Topsell. Yeah, fuck yeah.
Nice.
All right.
Shakespearean times.
So I'll just leave what I said there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And nice. Let them never so much with their blazing words boast themselves. So... Why the fuck did I read that?
Did you say a horn thing in there?
And then with that, here's some enjoyable stuff.
Bring it on.
Right? The Oxford or... I stalled myself out here because that was a hit in the head like a board.
So the lore of this points us in the direction of ancient Greece. The Greeks used...
That guy with that name.
Which guy?
Anstratopanes. Anthra. What the hell's his name? With the scrolls.
Which one?
Anastopanes.
Aristophanes?
Aristophanes.
That one, gotcha. There was a couple that we had. I was just trying to pinpoint which one.
Yeah.
But...
Filled with e-trading New Year.
Hunt them.
No, I feel
They're
you.
They're relaxing and resting easy.
Yes.
Safe. At high tide.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, I hope all of our listeners are safe at high tide.
Probably.
And that is whole nine yards for this week. Thanks for joining us.
It's not, though.
No.
It's just the break.
God damn it. Boop. Hello, everybody.
Yes.
and we are enjoying another brisk, fun-loving time. And I don't know. Fuck. I'm just useless anymore. It's okay. I'm going to continue this much-needed... Fuck. Usually I can just talk and words come out. There is no... Buster indeed.
Listen here, Buster. We've got some ads coming up.
We're going to Buster into these ads. No, that's not it either. We got some ads.
Yeah, that's the one.
Go on, say something.
That was good. I think you should leave both of those in there.
No, I... give me one more.
With Laddie?
Yeah, Lad. I searched Lad through my brain real quick. I had nothing for it.
We'll be the lads. You hear some ads. That's funny.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever.
But you saying that, so there's a guy in the show named Goober.
Okay, yeah.
And then, the hell was the other word?
GB? Hebe?
No, you had a...
rhyming reduplication?
God, love a canary.
What do you...
what's the goo... what's the... two words you had, man, my brain.
For Goober?
It wasn't Goober, but you had
Dorcas Malorcas.
God, save the queen.
I'm trying.
And while he's doing that, save me. Like, you kept saying something that's like Gooker.
Barney Google.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there's Barney, there's Barney, right?
Yes.
Fife. So hello, everybody.
Hi.
We're coming at you semi-live with some whole nine yards.
At the time we're recording, this is live, yes.
Yeah, we're live.
Recording.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, in that way, everything's live, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy tough. And, yeah, thanks for everyone who's writing in. Thanks a lot for all your subscribes. And please give us a rating if you enjoy the show. It helps us a lot. So
yeah.
Thanks a lot for all those ratings and all of that.
Indeed. Thank you.
Yeah. I wanted to say that right up front.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, get that right there going. We have a sort of umbrella of careless words, albeit with some flexibility on that umbrella.
Care taken in our carelessness.
It's a flexibrella.
Nice.
So it would be a great thing for me. You know, if we could just jump in and do, I'm going to do willy-nilly.
Okay. Why not? Go for it.
Yeah. And, you know, willy-nilly is, we say it, mm-hmm. okay?
At least three times a day.
At least three times a day. But we still, I mean, you still use it, right?
Sure, all the time.
I remember watching Jackie Brown. And Sam Jackson said to Robert, what's that fellow's name? He just died.
Robert,
sorry.
It's a P. Yeah. Crap.
Anyway.
R.I.P. that guy.
Yeah, R.I.P. that guy.
Yeah.
And Sam Jackson says to him, it's near the end, you know. Sorry if you haven't seen it yet.
Spoilers.
And he says, don't be making any sudden moves all herky-jerky. And I was like, herky-jerky? Who says herky-jerky? But it was funny to me and I retained it. But willy-nilly, we still say willy-nilly. And in some ways, I would think it's the same as herky-jerky, but it isn't. It's different.
Sure. Okay.
So let me give you a little bit on this.
All right.
A lot of sources in researching it would have you believe, and this happens all the time, right? That 1600s, early 1600s, everyone wants to say, this is the first time we have it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I guess that's kind of true in a willy-nilly, straight-up sort of alliterated sort of way that that phrase that we use today is said.
Okay.
But, and I'll say that, the Barnhart Concise Dictionary of Etymology says it's a contraction of will I, nil I, will he, nil he.
Yeah.
The word nil is from Old English nillen, and that's a combination of no and willin, so it's sort of like will I, won't I.
Okay.
So that brought me to maybe the strangest thing about willy-nilly, which was its original definition is not really how we think of it today. If I say to you, hey, Ray, you left this stuff all over the table all willy-nilly.
Mm-hmm.
What am I saying to you?
Like askew, or, you know, mess.
Yeah. Right?
Things are not neat.
You might say haphazardly.
Haphazardly, I would certainly say that.
Yeah. But it originally, and you would never get it from dissecting the words even, but it meant to people originally sort of against your will. I'm going to do it even though I don't want to do it.
Oh, like a begrudgingly kind of thing.
Yeah, so, and an example of that is Shakespeare used it a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And in The Taming of the Shrew, he uses it in a way to say he's going to marry this woman,
mm-hmm.
whether she likes it or not. That you shall be my wife, your dowry greed on, and will you, nill you, I will marry you. So he's meaning if you want to or don't want to, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter.
Okay.
And that was the way that phrase was used up until more recent times when it sort of meandered into the haphazard definition that we know now.
Yeah.
Now, it is older yet, as I said earlier, it wants to trace to the 1600s if you look at it, but it traces way farther back than that. And I found an example of it that dates to around the year 1000.
Okay.
In that context, Ray, they employ that beautiful Middle English that you love so much. This was in Alfric's Lives of Saints.
Okay.
Again, from around 1000.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't even begin to say it.
Sure.
I think what they are saying is, for we sin sinfully, and so be it, will we, won't we? But I...
Yeah.
This is a guess, because if you saw it in print, and then maybe I'll put it on one of our... on Facebook something. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't... You can't read the damn thing.
No, I try, but it's impossible.
But that is... truly the root of it, and that's 1,000 years old,
yeah.
Right there, and we still say, Ray, why'd you leave this stuff all willy-nilly on the table? Well, I just said
example.
Yeah, it was an example.
Right, no, sure.
Had you left haphazard things.
Sure, exactly.
To clarify it a little bit more, like the definition nil, like as I said, it came from Old English nillin.
Yeah.
And that was a contraction of knee will, which is not will.
Okay, like an anti. Okay.
So it has that sort of odd conflict in it. You know, the will and the nil are opposites,
mm-hmm.
and they're sort of jammed together, and gives you this sort of conundrum type phrase. Once again, it was exemplified even more so in the series of newspaper stories I found that were in the 30s. Here in the States,
mm-hmm.
And willy-nilly was this rooster character. They were a very simplistic, very basic running story called Sundown Stories.
Okay.
And it would be a recurring article in your daily newspaper. And from what I could tell, it's, you know, that's what people had, and they read it to their children. You know, it was like a little... story for them.
Cereal.
Called Willy Nilly. for the most part, we use it today as haphazard, and that is, so goes the story of Will I, Nil I.
Nice.
There is a Latin brother called Nolens Volens. Oh, you'd like
Man,
to hear that.
Love so, rhyming stuff.
Yeah.
We just can't get away from it. It's nice because it's like it shows that we really do listen to, and we want it to be fun to say. Like our language is...
more important than anything, we want it to be fun to say.
Right.
It doesn't have to make any damn sense.
No,
Nolens Volens. We'll save that for another time.
Oh, Latin. Okay, that's going to be tough, but yeah, nice. All right.
Yeah. So what do you
Willy
have?
Willy-nilly. Jay, have you heard of a movie called Back to the Future?
You know, Ray, I have.
Nice. That movie opens with a character named Marty McFly. And he ends up being late for school because he was hanging out with his friend at his friend's house, Doc Brown, playing a giant guitar amp that he had built for Marty. So after Huey Lewis's opening number and a montage of Marty skateboarding through town, we end up at his high school where he bumps into his principal, Principal Strickland. So Principal Strickland catches Marty being tardy and gives him detention. And while giving him detention, calls him a slacker, just like his father, George McFly. And in this case, Strickland is using the term slacker to mean a person who shirks work.
Sure.
So I'm going to give you the thing of slacker.
You're giving me the thing of slacker.
I'm going to give you the etymology of slacker.
Yeah, please do.
And like any good movie, I started where it got exciting, and I'll go back to the beginning and start where the story really starts.
Yeah, the childhood and sure. How they became yeah. who they are.
But Back to the Future actually brings slacker back into the lexicon. So you know it's an important piece of the slacker history. I wasn't just saying that fun, although it was fun.
No, you need some color.
So Strickland, like I said, is using this term to mean person who shirks work. And this definition dates back to about 1897. From the verb slack, which comes from an old English, our favorite, sleekhorns, I'm guessing, which means laziness. So sleekhorns become slack, and that is the base of the noun slacker. There we go. I got it. So Old English root is slake, which means inclined to be lazy, unhurried. And it's also rooted or related to the Latin laxus, which means loose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our Old English slake relates to old, really old English Latin, the laxus. So loose. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I could see that.
I found some interesting stuff that it is, it was sort of a nonviolent protest was called slacking back in 1925. There's a text, colonial moral economy and the discipline of development, the Jazeera scheme and modern Sudan. That's all one title.
Jeez Louise.
1925, the Sudanese laborers used slacking in quotes, to work lethargically as a form of nonviolent protest against their forced labor and of the occupying British.
Yeah, you would just slow it down to a crawl.
Yeah, they did what they, you know, what they thought they could. So they slacked. That was 1925. And then during World War II, as well, over in these part of the woods, this part of the ocean, this part of the world, Americans would refer to people who were not participating in the war effort, quote, specifically someone who avoided military service, as a slacker. Kind of like a draft dodger, I guess, of the time, you know?
Yeah. Any way that... So the workers in Sudan...
Yeah.
It was the British that coined that phrase? About what they were doing?
I don't know. I saw in that they used this term, they used slacking, meaning to work lethargically. So I guess they wouldn't have called themselves slackers.
I was just trying to see how, mm-hmm. then how did it jump over to here, like through World War II, through the British probably or something maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, perhaps. Yeah, it says, I don't know, they probably didn't use that specific word, but they worked lethargically, and I guess, yeah, the Brits might have said slacking.
Slakehorns.
Slakehorns, their laxus. Oh, yeah, so they, during World War I, they were called, people who avoided military service were called slackers, and attempts to track down these slackers were called slacker raids, creatively.
Sure.
Yeah, New York Times article of 1918, take slackers to the army. By direction of the federal authorities, several hundred prisoners captured in North Jersey's slacker raids last week were sent to Camp Dix, are being indicted into military service today as rapidly as special detail from the mustering office can handle them. That was like a little Dateline thing.
No, all the ships at sea and all that.
1940, Time article, the draft and how it works kind of brought back slacker ring as well. War, quote, war is not going to wait while every slacker resorts to endless appeals. But Back to the Future really brought the word out of hibernation and into the modern day. Wait. 1985 lexicon. So, getting people to encourage folks to get drafted. They wanted to appeal to people to allow the draft.
So it's funny, like as you went along, I thought for sure we were going to get, so there's, you got to pull your load, the rope, and then you let slacken the rope. So if you let slacken the rope, you aren't pulling your weight or something like that. But no, huh? Nothing there.
No. I mean,
like the loose rope.
It
the
means
laxus.
It means laziness. Well, laxus means loose. Yeah, sure.
All right. I'll accept all that.
Yeah. So Back to the Future brings it out of hibernation and back into the lexicon. And then slacker becomes pretty widely used in the 90s to refer to like any type of Gen Xer, really, I guess you want to say.
Yeah.
And in 1995, Richard Linklater, who directed the movie Slackers, stated he thinks the cheapest definition of slacker would be someone who's just lazy hanging out doing nothing, but he'd like to change that to someone who's not doing what's expected of them, someone who's trying to live an interesting life doing what they want to do, and if that takes time to find, so be it. That's a quote. So the moral of the story is to be like Marty McFly, the Marty McFly that we learn he becomes at the end of the trilogy, the good guy Marty McFly.
Yeah, I have failed to see it all through.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
People don't like the sequels as much, but I do. Some
I mean,
people.
Sequels, that's a tough game to play.
Yeah, it is.
If you succeed.
It's true. They can't all be like Empire, you know?
Well, no.
Yeah, so Back to the Future 3 has that cool train at the end.
Oh, I'll have
Spoilers.
To take it in. Yeah, thanks. all right, let's... I got nothing for this. Slack over to some ads. I got nothing, yeah.
Don't be lazy.
Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by the Roberto Clemente Museum. Located in a restored engine house in Pittsburgh's revitalized Lawrenceville neighborhood, the Clemente Museum is a showcase of the largest exhibited collection of baseball artifacts, works of art, literature, photographs, and memorabilia related to Roberto Clemente and his life in baseball. Shop the store for clothing and other items featuring the iconic 21 logo, and purchase tour tickets for the museum at clementemuseum.com. Enter promo code W9Y21 for a 10% discount on hats and tees. That's clementemuseum.com, promo code W9Y21. Whole Nine Yards is sponsored by Big Science Music. Big Science Music is a Cannes and One Show award-winning original music and sound boutique, providing scoring, sound design, radio, podcast, and audio post-production services for the advertising, film, and video industries. Big Science Music also offers ADR, casting, and project management. Big Science Music's reels, full capabilities, and more can be found at BigScienceMusic.com. That's BigScienceMusic.com.
And Whole Nine Yards.
Hi, we're back.
Yeah. And so, Ray.
Yes.
I know I said that this was an umbrella of sort of careless sort of words.
Yeah.
But you know what?
Mm-mm.
You're going to have to give me some leeway.
Okay. That's a good one.
Right. Because leeway is my word, which isn't really
look at you.
Careless as much as it is. But yeah, it's in there.
Okay.
So if I say to you, hey, Ray, give me some leeway on this, what am I saying?
Cut you some slacks.
Are you calling me a slacker?
No, I'm saying I'll cut you some slack.
Cut me some slack. Give me some leeway.
Yeah, I'll give you a
birth of forgiveness.
I'll give you a birth of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm making it up.
No, sure.
So leeway is one of those. It sort of comes from, A, the word lee.
Is that the field?
No, lee. Lee is a, it meant shelter, protection, and it had a prehistoric Germanic root that I It's K-H-L-E-W-O. It's like Kluo. I can't begin. And some other Danish stuff in there, but ended up Lee and somehow meant shelter and protection.
Oh, okay.
Ward, because it was originally derived from leeward. So ward being the going in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going in the direction of protection and shelter. So and that was so situated away from the wind on the side opposite the weather side of the ship pertaining to the quarter toward which the wind blows.
Mm-hmm.
That's leeward. So leeway is nautical.
It's all these sailing things.
Yeah. And what it is makes perfect sense and makes it really simple is, if you have some, you're out sailing.
Mm-hmm.
And you get some wind on the starboard side blowing at you.
Okay.
So over on the port side, as an example,
yeah,
that's leeward. And how much room you have between your ship on the leeward side and your ship hitting something is the leeway. So
The opposite side of the wind's blowing you is the lee.
Is leeward, okay. is leeway, yeah.
And then that to whatever's next to you is the leeway.
Right.
Huh.
Sailors know this and may be listening and chuckling now, but there are some crazy calculations and things that sailors do to determine how much leeway they have to protect themselves from crashing, really, you know?
Yeah. Huh.
So, technically speaking, the definition in the nautical sense is the amount an object floating on the water drifts to leeward from its forward motion.
Huh.
So how we use it now is really sort of directly derivative. You're saying, hey, give me some space to not crash into the island sort of thing, right?
Yeah. I need to know how far I am from smacking into something.
Yeah, or give me, create that space for me so that I don't. I guess is basically how we use it. So leeway, that's leeway.
We're sailors, we're explorers.
Lots of sailor stuff.
That's what we learn.
Yeah, all the time.
Huh, neat.
What do you have?
Slipshod.
Oh, I like slipshod.
Yeah, I enjoy the word slipshod.
Yeah, I guess that's what I mean.
I guess I before I researched anything... This is not correct, but I thought it was having to do with like horseshoes. Some kind of, a shoe slipped off the horse's foot, and that was why we got it. It's not unlike that, but it's not horse related. It's shoe. No. It's shoe related.
It is shoe related.
Yeah, it is shoe related.
All right,
but we've taken it to mean figuratively, done poorly, or too quickly, carelessly.
Yes,
to cut corners, which. Is an idiom as well. We use that in the definition of this one.
I don't know if that's legal.
I was looking like, wait, well,
it's only legal if we do cut corners in an upcoming episode.
Well, I won't say what it is then.
Yeah.
It's not, it's kind of one of these. It's just like, yeah, it's a quick one. But yeah, so done poorly, too quickly, carelessly. I think Mark Twain lots of enjoyable quotes. But this one, man, just the way that he writes and just the disdain he has for like everything is so wonderful. 1880, Mark Twain it's just like an appendix of some kind of thing. He wrote a letter somewhere and they just published it about the awful German language. A person who has not studied German can form no idea of what a perplexing language it is. Surely there is not another language that is so slipshod and systemless and so slippery and elusive to the grasp. One is washed about in it, hither and thither, in the most helpless way. It goes on more so. Just like, that's the start of the article.
Sorry to our German listeners.
Yeah, I am. But I mean, I'm going to say that this is how we feel about English. I mean, as I feel about English, there are no rules. It's all just guidelines.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
We're Germanically rooted language, so it would make sense that we'd follow the same. We have different perplexities, different intricacies. But anyway, the literal use of this word can go back to like forever. But
forever.
I mean, you know, since we started wearing shoes kind of thing. But I'm going to pick us up in our favorite area of Middle English around the 1500s, late Middle English. So late English. where it referred to wearing slippers or loose shoes, like shoes that were not on your feet all the way.
Okay.
Or slippers. So yeah. If you had slippers on, you were slipshod. You were shod in slips.
But is that, was it a negative?
Not at this time. It was more, this is just a literal.
This is what they call it.
This is what it is. It's slipshod. But then it does become a derogatory term, kind of in the same, similar times frame of that. People use it to mean, again, in a literal way of loose fitting shoes, but more in a judgy and kind of like, look at you, your shoes don't fit.
You couldn't put on some dress shoes?
Right. You're slipshod and you're wearing some ugly shoes that don't fit and they slide off your feet and they're all muddy. What the hell is that? You're not suitable for polite company because people cared about that stuff then.
Yeah.
So it was used in a sense to mean kind of shabby, untidy. And again, it goes back and forth between the literal and figurative. People use it to describe someone literally with loose fitting shoes. And people use it to describe someone figuratively in rude ways. Like,
yeah,
that guy.
But the way you used it in the, look at you, you can't. That jumps easily to just the general poorly done, carelessly done. You carelessly shooed yourself or you carelessly did that task.
Yeah, it grows kind of into the definition of careless from the, right, from the unkemptness of it and how highfalutin people would be more put together and your careless plebes would be not as put together and have slipshods, slip shoes.
Yeah.
1814, Jenry Hamesley Hunt was a poet, and he uses it in a figurative sense to mean the careless, but it's a hyphenated slip, hyphen shod. Again, but it's the same thing. It goes back to 1823, Sir Walter Scott's using this term to refer to someone whose shoes are just untidy and ill-fitting. So it's, yeah, we use it kind of both ways. In the 1800s, it seemed like we move more towards careless versus untidy, but we still use the word to also mean loose-fitting shoes.
Dang.
Yeah. Slipshod. I wear boots, so.
I wear slippers during the day.
So you're slipshod.
Yeah. I'm slipshod.
I'm bootshod.
Great, then.
Yeah.
I hope this episode wasn't slipshod.
Meh. Yeah.
No, I'm not going to use that one.
Oh, why not? That's fine.
So, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks.
And send us your thoughts, comments, suggestions, and relative criticisms to heyyou@whole9yards.org. That's heyyou@whole9yards.org. You know, send us all your, you know, even ideas for shows or things we said wrong or things you know more about.
Corrections are good. I'm happy to take those.
Yeah, send them.
Pronunciations of Middle English, also fine.
And we'll read them cyber live on the air.
Yeah.
Until next time, I'm Jay.
And I'm Ray.
And we're not idioms.
Whole Nine Yards is written, recorded, and produced by Big Science Pods. Learn more at whole9yards.org or contact Whole Nine Yards by emailing heyyou@whole9yards.org. That's heyyou@whole9yards.org. Whole Nine Yards theme music composed by Big Science Music.